Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about the power of the cross. I've been on this for 4 weeks. We've covered some really powerful things. And then this week, I've started sharing something that some people are just shocked to hear me preach on. I'm talking about hell. And you know, some people, when you preach on the grace of God and the goodness of God, they just somehow or another think that God is going to somehow or another just look the other way and that there is going to be no judgment. There have arisen some doctrines in the last few years of what is called ultimate reconciliation or universalism, where they just believe that everybody is going to somehow or another be reconciled to God, even the devil, and that there is no such thing as an eternal hell. And there's people today that aren't preaching this. And I tell you, it's in the Bible. And I don't see any contradiction between the goodness of God and God's wrath and judgment against the ungodly. As a matter of fact, something would be wrong if you say that you love people and yet you don't hate the evil that comes against people and tries to destroy them. A holy, just God has to have anger against that which is evil. We are commanded, like in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Some people just want to emphasize, well, let's cleave to everything that's good. Let's embrace the good and let's somehow or another ignore the evil. You know, I heard one of the political candidates say something about all of the countries that are trying to destroy the United States and stuff, and basically, let's pull all of our troops home and let's just talk to them. I think that that is absolutely stupid. Amen. I'm not here to make a political statement, but I tell you, you can't just sit there and let's embrace the good and then all of the evil will go away. No, there is evil. And you know what? If you're going to be truly good in this world today, you have to have a strong military to be able to deter and to fight against the evil. And likewise, God has to have this side that is anger and wrath against the ungodly. Now, He's placed all of His wrath for our individual sins upon Jesus. And I don't believe He's mad at you or at anybody for their individual sins, because He placed that wrath upon Jesus, all of it. But there is still one thing that has to happen, and that is that according to John 16, 8 and 9, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Not every individual sin, but it says in verse 9, the sin of not believing on Jesus. That's what it all comes down to. And if a person rejects the great salvation that God provided through sacrificing His Son for us, then there isn't a punishment bad enough or long enough to punish a person who would reject Jesus or ignore Jesus. I don't see any conflict between that. And I tell you, we need to remember this. If our society, you know, used to, there was an awareness of hell even among unbelievers. They believed that there was such a place as hell. And because of it, they wouldn't just go out and shoot people and then turn the gun on themselves and kill themselves and think, well, I escaped punishment. Man, the moment you kill yourself, you hadn't escaped anything. You have ushered yourself into an eternal destiny of either heaven or hell. And if you've done one of these hideous acts, well, then I guarantee you, you just ushered yourself into hell. But there's people today that do this all of the time, and they'll go out and kill other people and then kill themselves thinking that I escaped. That's because they don't believe that there was a hell. And so having this understanding of a heaven and a hell has benefit even beyond those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior. This awareness of a hell makes some people realize that someday I'm going to be accountable. But in our society today, we're doing all kinds of things. We're embracing evolution, which a lot of people think that what that does, that means that they don't have any accountable. There isn't a God who created things. We just all evolved, and so therefore you can live like a dog and there is no accountability for your actions. That's not true. And people are embracing evolution and embracing this no hell as a way to soothe their conscience and basically live any way they want to so that there is no accountability. That's wrong. And what I'm teaching on hell does not contradict grace. It really reestablishes it. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture where Jesus said, those to whom much has been forgiven, they will love much. But those that have been forgiven little will love little. You know, I haven't gone out and committed some of the gross sins that a lot of other people have committed. And so some people think I couldn't love much. But I have a greater revelation of my forgiveness than most people do. Even though in my world standards, human standards, just looking on the exterior, I haven't done some of the sins that other people have done, I am more aware of the punishment for sin and my forgiveness of sin than many people that have gone out and raped and murdered and plundered and done other things. And so, therefore, I believe that my love and appreciation for what Jesus has done for me is greater than many people, even though I may not have been forgiven of some of the same things, but I have a revelation of it. We need a revelation of hell, what we have been redeemed from, and it will increase your love. It'll make you thankful. You'll see that it's serious, that sin is serious, and that Jesus paid a tremendous price for us, and it makes us love Him more. So anyway, yesterday I went through some things. I'm going to have to say some things very quickly because I want to move forward and get further into this. But in the Old Testament, there are 63 times that the word Sheol, that is a Hebrew word, was used to describe hell. It was also translated grave 30 times and pit 3 times. And it's all referring to a place where the dead go. In the Old Testament, there are many scripture references. I'm not going to take the time to look at them, but it all talks about going down into hell. And it even speaks of going into the lower parts of the earth in Psalms chapter 16 and other places. And hell is in the center of the earth. There are scriptures that talk about it being hot, which it just so happens that everything that we've come to understand about the core of the earth is that it is extremely hot, molten lava and things like this. And hell, or this place that the Old Testament called Sheol, it was a Hebrew word, was there. And it also talks about the believers going there. They go down into hell, but they weren't in a place of torment. So apparently this place called Sheol, the place of departed spirits where they went in the earth, was divided in two. And we will see that as I get into Luke chapter 16, talking about the rich man and Lazarus, that Lazarus was in Sheol, in this place in the center of the earth, but it was called Abraham's bosom. It was a place of blessing, but it was still this place called Sheol. So Sheol was divided into two parts, and when Jesus died, He descended into the lower parts of the earth. Let me just read this passage out of Ephesians, and in chapter 4, in verse 8, "Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man." Now, He that ascended, talking about Jesus who ascended into heaven, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Again, this is talking about a place in the center of the earth, hell, or the Old Testament Sheol. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things." In verse 8, it says, "and led captivity captive." So this is talking about that this place called Sheol was divided into two parts, Abraham's bosom and then hell, the punishment side. A place of blessing was Abraham's bosom. The place of punishment was called hell, but the whole thing was called Sheol. Jesus, at His death, descended into hell, and He took the people that were in Abraham's bosom and led them to paradise, or what we call heaven. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with Me in paradise." And He took all of these people, this captivity, these people who before the cross came, they couldn't really enter into heaven, into the very presence of God, because even though God had forgiven them, in a sense, He had forgiven them on credit. The actual payment hadn't been made yet. Jesus hadn't died. His blood had not been shed, and they couldn't go directly into the presence of God, but they were saved on credit. They were in a place of blessing, and we will read that in Luke 16 about in Abraham's bosom, this rich man saw Lazarus, and he was blessed, and he was prosperous, and it was a great place. But it still was separated from God because the atonement for our sins had been prophesied and promised and made in principle or in symbol through the animal sacrifices, but the actual sacrifice hadn't been made yet. Jesus made that sacrifice, redeemed man, and reconciled us back to God. And then he took all of those people that were in that part of hell, our Sheol that was called Abraham's bosom, he took them to heaven. And now the Sheol, this place of departed spirits in the center of the earth, there is no place of blessing there anymore. It's all hell. It's all punishment. And in the future, the book of Revelation, which again, you could go through and establish each one of these points, but it could take me 30 minutes to make one point, and I'm trying to combine a lot of things. So I encourage you to study this out on your own. But in the book of Revelation, it shows that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And instead of people living forever in heaven, that's not true. Heaven, where people now who are godly people and who've been redeemed by Jesus, they are in heaven now. But at the end of time, God is going to destroy this earth and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And then all of the believers will move back to the new earth and live in a place called the New Jerusalem. And there's the actual dimensions of it given in the book of Revelation. And we will live forever on the earth in the presence of God. All of the believers will be in this place. And then it says, like in Revelation chapter 20, this is where it talks about all of this. It says in verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So this place called hell, when the earth is destroyed and God makes a new one, there isn't going to be a hell in the center of the earth, but that place called hell and all of the people in it who are in this place of torment are going to be thrown into what's called a lake of fire. It doesn't tell us where that is, but who wants to go there? Who wants to find out? And so right now, Sheol, this Old Testament place in the center of the earth where all dead went, godly and ungodly, that place called Sheol, which half of it was a place of blessing, the other half was a place of torment. The place of blessing has now been taken out of the center of the earth. Those people and everyone, every godly person who dies now goes to a place called heaven. The Sheol that's in the center of the earth is only a place of torment. That's called hell. But it's not going to be eternal. There is coming a new heaven and a new earth. And those who are in heaven in relationship with God will come back and live in the New Jerusalem. Those who have rejected God are going to be taken out of hell and cast into a lake of fire. And it says that they will be tormented forever and ever. And that's right here in this 20th chapter. And it makes it clear that it is not just a partial time and that there is no future time of restitution. The whole Catholic doctrine that there's a place of purgatory or a limbo that you go into and that you can pray a person out of purgatory and get them into right standing with God is wrong. Matter of fact, the scripture just makes it very clear that the only time you have to make your choice of whether you go to heaven or hell is in this life while you still are in this body and using this judgment that we have right here. Once you die, your fate is set. And until the great white throne judgment, which is described in Revelation chapter 20, you will dwell, if you don't know Jesus, you'll dwell in a place that's called hell in the center of the earth. But when we stand before the Lord and the judgment is made, all that's going to happen is we will have our decision that we made, whether we accepted or rejected Jesus here on this earth, it will be enforced. And there will be a final judgment where we will be thrown into the lake of fire. But there's not going to be anybody who's in hell at the great white throne judgment who all of a sudden gets their sins commuted somehow or another and goes to heaven. and lives in the New Jerusalem. No, your decision is fixed now. Now, I've said a lot of things that I didn't really back up by just individual scriptures because I was trying to hurry through it, but there are hundreds of scriptures. I told you there were 63 that specifically use this word in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, there's a lot of words also that go along with talking about heaven and hell. In the New Testament, the word Hades, it was translated hell. Excuse me, let me get all of my notes together here. The word Hades was translated hell 10 times in 10 verses. It was also translated grave once. So there's 11 times that the word Hades is used. And then the word Gehenna, yeah, that's a Greek word, was used and translated hell 12 times in 12 verses. So again, here's dozens of references that talk about hell in the New Testament. This just isn't an Old Testament doctrine. Let me just go through and read a few of these very quickly, and then tomorrow on our broadcast, I'm going to get into some specific scriptures that will give us an even clearer understanding of what the Bible talks about hell. But here's some of the things that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, He says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus again said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And here again, this is all Jesus using this this example of hell. For a person to say that there is no such thing of a hell, or it's only a state of mind in this life, but it doesn't have anything to do with the future, is just denying what the Scripture says. Look at this in Luke 16:23. I'll go into more detail on this on our broadcast tomorrow. But it's talking about the rich man. It says, "In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." You know, some people say, "Well, that was just a parable. It's not real." Well, Jesus gave a parable about the sower sowing the seed in Mark chapter 4. But was anything he said in it not real? When he said it's like throwing seed in the ground, when you throw seed in the ground, does it have to get below the surface to germinate? Does it grow up? Does it produce a crop? Are there actual thorns and weeds that he compared to cares of this life and deceitfulness of riches? Do all of those things exist? Absolutely. Even if you say it was a parable, which I'm not sure it was a parable, it would be real. It was about something that was real. It's nothing that is just symbolism. It was real. He lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 27. This is the quotation by Peter from Psalm 16:10. And he says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." And he goes on and applies that was talking about Jesus. Jesus didn't just die on the cross and then have something happen in his subconscious and this is what he went through and it was feelings and emotions. No, Jesus went into a physical place called hell, the Old Testament Sheol, and he took Abraham's bosom and led it into heaven. In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, this is Peter again still speaking on the day of Pentecost. "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Notice it says it wasn't left in hell. It did go to hell. And it says that. I read those scriptures over in Ephesians chapter 4, that he descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. Jesus went to a place. I tell you, for you to come up with some kind of a doctrine that there is no hell, that it's a state of being, it's a state of mind, and it's not an actual place, just doesn't hold water scripturally. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." Again, hell is a place. It has keys to it. In Revelation 6:8, "I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him." Revelation 20:13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." Again, this is very clearly stating that when you die, you go someplace. It's talking about your soul and your spirit. James 2:26, I used that verse yesterday. But you go someplace. Death and hell had dead people in them. And they delivered up these dead to be judged. And then in the next verse it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyway, I'm just about out of time on today's broadcast, but we could just keep going and going and going. Tomorrow I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to look at this actual teaching that Jesus gave about two individuals who died and went to into Sheol, into this place in the earth. This is before His resurrection and before His blood was shed, and they had to go into this place that was in the center of the earth. But part of it was a place of blessing. And one person was blessed in an area called Abraham's bosom. The other person was in a place called hell. And I'm going to share with you what the Scripture said, what Jesus taught. You know, to me, there's many voices today, but no voice compares with the voice of Jesus. Jesus is the one that died for me. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is the one who never sinned. Jesus is the one who knew all things, who proved it, who prophesied things. The word of Jesus is infinitely greater than anybody else's words, and I'm going to be taking the words and the teaching of Jesus to show that hell is a real place, that people were tormented, that they had physical parts of their body there, they experienced emotions, they experienced regret, they experienced desire to see people saved and were tormented, that there was nothing that they could do to affect that change from hell. And I'm going to be sharing things with you from the teaching of Jesus that to me supersedes everybody else's teaching. So I don't care what the popular things are today. It doesn't matter whether people are able to understand that a holy God and a gracious, merciful God can fit together. People that can't make that connection, it doesn't matter to me about what reasonings they have. I'm going to be taking the teaching of Jesus and explaining things about hell. And I tell you, it'll help you. If nothing else, it ought to make you so thankful for what you've been saved from. It ought to motivate you to save other people from this place. But I think that a lack of understanding this and a lack of having this in the forefront of our thinking has caused many of us today to get to where we're complacent about things that we shouldn't be complacent about. This life is like a snap of the fingers compared to eternity. And we are going to spend that eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And we have to make that decision now. It's imperative that we understand these things and praise God for our deliverance and also be motivated to save other people from this terrible place. You know, I'm out of time today, but if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get this teaching entitled Saved from Hell by the Cross. It's a part of this album that I've got entitled The Power of the Cross. And I encourage you to listen to our announcer and then call or write today and receive these materials. And join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Power of the Cross is available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Saved from Hell by the Cross, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Denver, Colorado this week for a Gospel Truth rally Friday, December 2nd, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth seminar January 5th through the 7th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance January 19th through the 21st, and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth seminar February 9th through the 11th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
My name is Caroline. I was born and raised in a former church. It was very cultish, very legalistic, a lot of rules and regulations. I never questioned anything that we were taught and raised. The head of the church would say that we had to take everything that God was speaking to them only. And a woman especially was not allowed to question anything. But I heard God,
You just despair of ever having God really move and manifest in your life because you feel that you've got to do everything just right. You have to start recognizing that everything you need and want comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not based on your own merit.
God, through His grace and power and the blood of Jesus, has made me a new person from the inside out. Now it's all about grace, it's all about love, and it's not about rules. God loves you unconditionally.
God loves you unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible college ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today.